Hey there, friend. It's Clarissa, founder of Blossoming Fertility and the host of the Fertility Friends podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Listen, I know the path to motherhood isn't always easy, and you don't have to go through it alone. After experiencing my own fertility challenges, I discovered a passion for helping other women because I believe that everyone's fertility journey is unique and beautiful in its own way. As your new fertility friend, I'm here to support you through the tough times, to encourage you to keep going, and to restore your belief in your body's ability to get and stay pregnant. Grab your cup of tea, get cozy, and join me here each week for education, heartfelt conversations that'll warm your soul, and inspiring stories to help you feel seen and understood along the way. Listen in, because this one's for you, my friend. Hey there, and welcome to episode 21 of the Fertility Friend podcast. I'm really looking forward to sharing this episode with you because it features our very first guest expert. Today, I'm interviewing the one and only Michelle Orovitz. Michelle is truly a gem in the fertility industry, and she's helped countless women fulfill their dreams of becoming a mother. She serves her clients with compassion and is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to fertility. Michelle is a role model for other practitioners, and she values community over competition. She has a heart of gold, and it was truly an honor to interview her today. We get the chance to talk through a variety of topics, including an overview of her personal journey that led her to the work that she does today. We also discuss the inspiration behind her new book, The Way of Fertility, which I highly recommend for anyone who feels like they've tried everything to get pregnant. It's an incredible book, and it's filled with so many important aspects that are often overlooked on the fertility journey. Michelle also shares her expertise and wisdom on topics such as awareness of your body's signs, what chi life force is, the power of presence and trust, plus so much more. This felt like a full circle moment for me because Michelle played a part in my own fertility journey. Through her podcast, courses, hypnosis audios, and more, she gave me hope and helped me believe in my body's ability to get pregnant. So before we dive in, let me introduce you to Michelle so that you can get to know her even better. Michelle Orovitz is an acupuncturist specializing in fertility health. She found her love in Chinese medicine after it helped her through her own menstrual cycle challenges, and this inspired her to change her career from architecture to acupuncture. Michelle is the host of a top-rated podcast called The Wholesome Fertility Podcast. She has been endorsed by best-selling authors such as Amy Raup, Jessica Ortner, and Dr. Lisa Miller. Michelle has been on a mission to help women get pregnant naturally and IVF preparation through her one-on-one work at her acupuncture clinic as well as online. She recently authored a new book, The Way of Fertility, which dives deep into the energetics of fertility through the lens of ancient wisdom. Michelle believes that our bodies are hardwired to procreate, and by connecting to our inherent wisdom, we can awaken our natural reproductive vitality. This conversation is full of hope, wisdom, and inspiration. So without further ado, let's listen in. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the Fertility Friend podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Clarissa. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't we go ahead and dive in and just, if you could, share a little bit more about you and your story and how you came to do the work that you do today.
So actually, in my previous life, was an architect and worked in corporate world and was very high stress, New York City. And for about 12 years, really from the time I got my period until I'll finish the story of how I got my period normally, but I was irregular. My periods would come like every 2 months, every 3 months. And the only solution I got was the birth control pill by mainstream medicine. And so I remember thinking like, okay, something's off, but I don't know what it is. And I didn't really pay that much attention to it. So I was like, okay, let me go on, off, you know, for a little while. And so I was on and off for about 12 years. And then eventually when I was off, I went away for about 3 months and didn't get my period the whole time. And I remember thinking, okay, this is weird. You know, like I should be getting my period. And so I told my mom, I came back, moved back to New York. And she said, you know, I heard about an acupuncturist. He's supposed to be really good. So we went to the acupuncturist and he was really my solution. He regulated my period. And that was shocking to me because for so many years, I mean, I literally had like a good history behind me where I was told that there's no option to regulate this. And it was incredible to me. So that was my first taste of like the real effects of natural medicine and like really feeling it embodied in my body. And so it blew me away. And I realized also, I mean, I felt like it started to regulate. It was like a cascade of events where I started to feel better in my body, but also better in my life and my, and everything. And I started to also realize like what wasn't working for me. And part of it was my work. And I didn't really feel very aligned with it. And I was so intrigued by helping other people and doing really for other people what acupuncture and natural medicine has done for me. So eventually that started off, you know, it started kind of like a journey. We moved to Florida. We were in New York. We moved to Florida after I married my husband, and I enrolled in Ayurvedic medicine, a school there, and then had my kids. And then, you know, obviously my menstrual cycle was regular at the time. Everything started to really fall into place. And then eventually when my kids were a little older, I went back to school for acupuncture. Even when I was in school, whenever we had any projects, I was always intrigued by women's medicine, women's health, and fertility specifically. It was just something that I was always drawn to. And eventually opened up my practice, decided to specialize, and I was just really fascinated by fertility and then started to do fertility coaching online. It's just like an obsession in a way, I guess a good obsession.
Yes.
and here we are today.
Wow. That's such a beautiful story too. And I think one thing that's really incredible is I feel like you kind of bypassed potential fertility challenges too, right? I mean, by the time that you did have your children, you had already gone through a lot of this healing journey, regulating your cycle. And I almost wonder what would have happened if you hadn't gone this route and you hadn't discovered a way to really balance out those hormones and to live that aligned life that led you to your purpose and the work that you're doing today. So
oh, 100%. I got lucky. I got really lucky. And I think about that often today as well. And I thank Dr. Lee for it, because Dr. Lee was my first like consistent acupuncturist. And really, he changed my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. And the trajectory you're on too, now you're paying that forward really with all of the impact that you have with women on their fertility journey too. So that's such a beautiful path that you're on. And I think if I remember correctly, your mother struggled to have you though, right? So there's kind of some history when it comes to maybe those fertility challenges and how you came to be in this world. So I feel like that's another connection. Do you want to maybe share that story?
Of course. Yeah. So I talk about that actually in my new book. I start the story really with my story, my irregularities, but also the fact that I'm here to sort of as a testament of a woman who has struggled with second. And so for many years, she's tried to conceive. And I remember I kept asking her, I'm like, so what happened? Because now, of course, I'm in this world. I'm like, tell me specifically, like, what happened? She goes, oh, I mean, this is what she says over and over again. She goes, you don't understand. Every period I got, I cried. I cried with my bleed. Like, she really, really describes exactly what I hear from my patients and my clients today. And it's wild to hear that, you know, that she was going through that so many years back. And she goes, I fought for you. And, you know, she says that. And so once she did get pregnant, what's crazy is actually a couple of years or maybe even months, I don't know if it was a year before she had me, she had a dream of a girl with curly hair skipping along. And I was the only girl person with curly hair in my family.
Wow.
So she said, who is that girl? And they said, that's your daughter. And so she remembers seeing me in her dream. And then eventually she conceives me and then gets really sick during the pregnancy. And actually, I don't add this in the book, but she said, according to what she said, she got so sick and she got like sickness. I mean, the whole time she lost a lot of weight, couldn't put any food down, was really dehydrated at the time too. Like, I don't know that they were monitoring as much on the hydration like they are now. And her doctor said, listen, you know, you might want to abort because this is not good for you. And she goes, no way. And so that's kind of crazy to kind of go back and hear that and that she really struggled. But yeah, it was a pretty intense time. So now there's 4 years between my brother and I, because, you know, she wanted us to be like, you know, she wanted to get pregnant a year when he was a year, and she just struggled and struggled. And eventually she had me.
Wow. That's incredible too. And I think that's such a testament to the connection between the mother and then the life that's being called into, like that baby that is there. I mean, having dreams about it beforehand too, like it's just so meant to be. And I don't know how else to describe it, because to me, it's like those two lives, you and your mom, you were meant to be together. You and your daughters were meant to be together. And I just feel like anybody who is on this journey and they have that desire in their heart to become a mom, it's there for a reason. It was planted in your heart and your soul for a reason, because you are meant to be connected to that soul that's eventually going to be here physically earthside with you. But I like to remind my clients too, that like your baby is already there inside of you too, right? Like they're literally an egg inside of your womb, right?
Right. That's you are so not good. Alone. On I this love journey. That.
Yeah. Like they're meant to be there. They're already there. And so I just think there can be a lot of loneliness. I had a similar kind of story with my daughter too, because in my dreams, I would always envision a girl with dark hair and blue eyes, which I have green eyes, but I'm the only one in my family with green eyes and nobody has blue eyes. And she came out and she has blue eyes and dark hair. And it's just like, oh my God, you know, that communication, that energetic communication, I guess, is just really, not a lot of people talk about and not a lot of people realize it, but I feel like things like that are what brings us hope, and things like that are what bring us that connection and just that spiritual connection, I guess, to our future babies as well. So
yeah. And I actually saw my second child in my dream as well before my first child came. So it was one of those things, because she's in my dream, blonde hair, blue eyes, and I have brown hair. My husband has brown hair. He has hazel eyes. I have brown eyes.
Okay.
So like the likelihood of that just kind of making sense. It didn't make sense. And so I forgot about it for many years. And then it was during a chemical pregnancy, actually. It was I tested positive, and then was really emotional, because it was a weird knowing that like it wasn't meant to be. And I fell asleep, saw her in my dream, woke up, got my period. Then a year or so later, had my first. Okay. Just because we paused, you know, we wanted to move to Florida, everything, you know, aligned, and then had my first. And then, which is interesting, because we went to India, you know, I was very intrigued with Indian culture because of Ayurveda. And I felt, that's it. This is the time I'm supposed to have my first. I just, like, I knew it shortly after conceived her. She came out looking like a carbon copy of me. So there's no way in my mind that I would ever think to have a blonde hair, blue eyed girl. But then eventually, you know, my second was born, very fair. Years later, she had long blonde hair, like in the dream. And then it clicked. And then I was like, wait a second. It clicked so much that I started questioning my sanity. And I was like, am I making this up? Because I remember this dream. So then I asked my husband and my mom, who both confirmed that I told them the story.
Wow. That's incredible. And that's the thing though, too, is sometimes you don't realize it in the moment. You have these signs along the way. You have these visions, you have these pieces of connection, and the pieces of the story don't always come together at the beginning, right? Sure. I always liken it to when you're doing a puzzle and you have one piece of the puzzle. If you just look at that one piece, you don't see the full picture, right? And it isn't until you put the puzzle together that you're like, wow, okay, this connected to this and this connected to this. And this is what made that full beautiful tapestry of your fertility journey too. So it's just really cool in hindsight when you kind of get to look at some of those little synchronicities along the way and those pieces of connection. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. Cause at the time it doesn't make sense. And I think that that's what confirms it even more. Cause you're just like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Exactly. Oh, I love that so much. I love that. So let's talk about the book, because I am so excited that you wrote this book. I know I told you before we got started here, this book is, it's just incredible. It's such a heart from the heart. It was written from the heart. It is really refreshing too. I don't feel like there's anything like this in the fertility space right now. And you're talking about things that many people don't realize play a factor into their fertility. Because to me, I feel like fertility is more than just physical, right? If it were purely physical, I feel like IVF would have a 100% success rate, because you're literally putting
Right.
the egg and the sperm together. And if it was purely physical, that should happen every single time. And it just doesn't. So there are other factors at play that really go into optimizing that fertility across the board. And I feel like you approach it from that holistic mind, body, soul standpoint too, where it just all comes together. So if you wouldn't, well, why don't we start with where your inspiration from the book came from? Like, what prompted you to write a book? And if there's anything you want to share, maybe behind the scenes into that aspect first.
I think over time, working with so many people and just kind of being in this world, and then also being on the podcast, because it was like many years at that point, just having conversations and knowing that, I think over time, you when you learn a craft or you're doing something that's repeated, your essence or whatever you're channeling or some kind of wisdom kind of comes through you. But plus, you're also drawn to specific parts of like Chinese medicine, things about it that I found really intriguing. And part of it was really the basis of what it's founded on, which is Taoism. Because yes, we can get into the intricacies and the branches and all the aspects, but where is it derived from? What's really at the core of it? And the core of it is really the message of living in accordance with the Tao and the way, and living in balance, which is depicted in the yin and the yang. And so I always found like ancient medicine or ancient wisdom, really, that's the core of it and really the essence of it. So I kind of looked at the essence and I have always been intrigued by it. But I think that that's what it is that when we're on the fertility journey, it also looks at the essence of fertility. Because if you understand the essence of nature and the essence of health, nature is very fertile, then you'll understand the essence of fertility. And nature wants to thrive. Nature wants to reproduce. And it's our nature. So what went wrong? You know, what happened that's causing it to be off? And I'm talking about myself too. Even though it was before I was actively trying to conceive, what went wrong with me in my period back when I was irregular? Like, something was off. And I realized through my own experience that this is something that can be restored. I want to say restored, not fixed, restored, because it's about really coming back to our essence and coming back to our nature, which is perfect in the way it is, and it's a natural expression. And when something's off, what is it? Most of the time in Chinese medicine, what we look at is like when things are imbalanced, it's because we're either living outside of alignment with the food that we eat, with the way we think, you know, because thoughts have an impact on our organs in Chinese medicine. There's a spirit and personality to each of our organs. The way they look at our bodies are a lot more eloquent and poetic than what we're seeing in conventional medicine, which, not to knock conventional medicine, it is incredible. And they have state-of-the-art equipment and tools and amazing things to save lives. However, we want to take all the different perspectives, all the different types of medicines, and have them complement each other so that it becomes more effective, and not one pretending that the other one doesn't exist or something doesn't exist just because they have not discovered it or don't understand that language. And so to really understand that there is so much more to the intelligence that runs our body, and what is that? So if we're living in accordance to alignment with ourselves, and we realize that our thoughts do impact our bodies and that our emotions do impact and they matter, then we're not going to bypass it and go straight to the supplements and the diet and all the other things and not completely, totally ignore like our state of well-being. And I think that it was a calling really to remind people or teach people that you are so much more than a physical body, and your body actually responds to the call of your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings and your ability also to respond to that call that you have and know that it's real and acknowledge that. And so there's so many, you know, obviously there's so many different factors that come into play, but I really wanted to talk about that as one of the things. And obviously there's many, many different things that I talk about throughout the book. And it's not as much, I didn't want to focus on supplements because by 5 years, I'd have to rewrite the book because something else comes out. And true. And that's what I tend to find. But like things that are basically the essence, the of Chinese medicine has been around for thousands of years. And modern medicine, modern science is actually catching up and proving a lot of what they're saying to be true. And I cite that in the book itself to show that there are parallels and that things that have been said for so many thousands of years are actually proving to be correct. Yeah. So yeah, I go into a lot of those details.
I love that. And I almost feel like you're that voice carrying forward that ancient wisdom, because you're right. This has been around for years. It's proven, right? And in your book too, you have such a beautiful way of talking through these things, but also citing it and showing that it is actually proven scientifically. You reference studies and you have a lot referenced in there too. So for somebody that may be a little bit more doubtful or hesitant, maybe that something like this could really be impacting their fertility, I feel like you do a great job of explaining not only what it is, why it works, but showing that there are studies and you even have examples. You have a lot of really great, beautiful stories that you share from your clients too, where implementing some of these things helped them overcome these fertility challenges too. And you're right. I think if the body, if you are experiencing challenges with getting pregnant, it's a sign, right? It's a sign. It's a call from your body saying that something is off. Like it's a cry for help almost, right? To say, mm-hmm. Hey, we're living out of alignment. We're needing extra support in this way. And I think so many times we see this as this obstacle, this barrier, and this maybe circumstance that's happening to us. And we feel kind of like the victim of that circumstance too. Like, why is this happening to me? Instead of turning around and flipping it to say, how is this happening for me? Because I truly believe that the fertility journey is a gift. And if you are lucky enough to experience fertility challenges, it's because your body and your soul is crying out to you that like, there's a different way, there's a different path that we want to be on. And I think listening to that takes courage. And I think a lot of times too, we don't really pay attention to some of those signs that our body is telling us and that our soul is crying out for. You know, we suppress a lot of things. I know in your book, you talk about feeling your emotions too, and really taking the time to just sit with them and be with those emotions too. So maybe we could talk about that a little bit too, and just figure out, or maybe explain how paying attention to those emotions, paying attention to those signs and those symptoms that are coming up are really the answers that we're looking for. The answers are already inside of us, right? So how can we maybe pay more attention to those and let them come out in the forefront?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at a lot of the teachings from ancient wisdom, they always say, go within. All the answers are mm-hmm. found within.
Yes.
What they also teach is about the push and pull and kind of being in neutrality. When you're in neutrality, you're more likely to fall back into your original plan, your original state of intelligence, where you're finding flow. So being with your emotions and really truly seeing what is from a place of neutrality, because if you really look at life, and a lot of the teachings talk about this, if you really look at life, life is really not good or bad. It's true. I know it sounds very strange to hear this, especially with all the craziness that's happening, but it really comes down to the meaning that we put on it. Because you'll find 10 different people and you'll find 10 different meanings.
Yeah.
And so that tells you, if you're going to find 10 different people with 10 different meanings, and I see this all the time with my patients, mm-hmm. it happens all the time. If you find that, what that tells you is there must be a level of choice mm-hmm. in how we witness life. you know, but we're probably not conscious of that choice. And so the book is kind of a call to awareness and to become, to sit with yourself and sit with what is and validate those feelings that you're having. Because I've seen it many times with my patients and my clients, like people go through phases on the fertility journey. And at first it does start with a why me, and that's okay. Like that's part of it. And that's where it's like, it's okay to have that. It's okay to have all the different phases as you're going through it. You're going to go through it. It's just part of the process. And the quicker you allow yourself to be immersed into it and feel it, the easier it will be, in a sense that it won't stay stuck. And so emotions want to move through. We tend to resist because we just don't like feeling uncomfortable. And this is just across the board. It's just a human trait. It's a human response to many things. And one of the books that actually really inspired me with that is called The Untethered Soul, when he talks about leaning in. So I started to do that in my own life, just like leaning into emotions. And I found that when I did that, it actually gave me more empowerment rather than trying to hide away or push it away. When you push it away, you're actually constricting your body. What that does is it creates stagnation energetically. This is actually what we learn in Chinese medicine. Yeah. When you do that, when you create stagnation and resistance within your body and your energetic, you know, frequency, you are stopping things from moving. When we stop things from moving, we get stuck. That ultimately does manifest in our body. And the thing to really understand is, obviously there's many different cases, but for the majority and the majority of the people that I work with, fertility is just a phase. Fertility challenges is a phase. And that fertility challenges is a symptom. And symptoms arise incredibly. It's an incredible intelligent aspect of your body. They arise to let you know, hey, red flag, pay attention. That's all it is. So we could say good, bad, or just pay attention. Like that's the neutrality aspect of it. Let me look at this. It's not good or bad. It is. It just is. And let me look at this. Because ultimately, when you look at it in that neutrality, there's less, ultimately a little less, I'm going to say a little less suffering. Mm-hmm. A little less resistance, and it's quicker to figure out what's going on. It's quicker to understand the message. You know, that resistance, we don't want it, but that resistance will take it longer. It kind of gives us a little bit of more of a detour.
Mm-hmm. True. I love that. It's almost like a sign, right? Like I pictured as you were describing that, like a traffic sign almost. Like it's a simple, or it's a signal that's telling you to stop, to slow down, or to go. And mm-hmm. it's not bad. Like if it's telling you to stop, it's there for a reason. Like maybe there's cars coming, or it's like trying to avoid some potential accident or something. But if you just listen to it without judgment and just kind of pay attention to it, mm-hmm. I think that's sometimes the hardest part too, especially nowadays too. I feel like we try to suppress a lot of our symptoms. I know, like, okay, if you have a headache, it's really easy to just take an Aleve instead of asking yourself, well, why do I have a headache, or what's going on? Why is this there? So really stopping to tune into your body, pay attention to what it's trying to tell you, and explore it, right? It doesn't have to be, like you said, good or bad. And it's not about suppressing it. It's just about exploring it and trying to uncover what it's trying to tell you. So I mm-hmm. love that. Would you mind explaining a little bit more around chi and that life force energy? Because you talked about that stagnation piece, and I know how important that flow of chi and that life force energy is within you, but can you explain that maybe a little bit further about why it's important and maybe how to amplify your chi?
Yes. So chi, a lot of people think chi is energy. Mm-hmm. And while energy is a component of chi, it's not all that it is. Chi is a very intelligent life force vitality. It's what brings life to the body. And, you know, the body itself, the physical aspect of the body, isn't necessarily what makes it alive. It's that chi element that turns it on and keeps it alive and keeps it warm and keeps it moving. So that life force vitality is pretty much what needs to move through our body. And it moves through meridians to activate and nourish and nurture really all the different aspects of us. Part of how we attain chi is through, we call pre-heaven chi, pre-heaven essence, we get from our parents' genetics. But we can also do it through food, sunlight, you know, a lot of different things in life, like exercise. But something that is often really ignored is that we can also optimize it through, I guess, a balance of emotions and our thoughts. Because if you think about it, emotions, and especially really difficult ones, are not very energy efficient. They can really tap us out and drain us. And then if they work on repeat, because we're creatures of habit, we can keep it on repeat without even realizing it. And it's kind of running in the background, having like a ton of apps in the background of your phone. It's the same kind of thing, but you're having that constantly just drain your energy. And so optimizing that state, and really the antidote can come to one simple thing, is just being in the present moment and teaching yourself to really live in the present moment. When you're living in the present moment, you're more awake and you're more able to access that life force that is present. And the power of now, it's like by Eckhart Tolle, really, really was another one that influenced me a lot. But like being present, you don't have the things in the background. You're kind of getting rid of all the apps in the background and just focusing on that one right now. So you're not focusing on the past or the future. You're focusing on the present moment. Well, that's one way to really improve your qi. And think about times in your life where you've had really amazing events and you were like really present. How much more alive were you? And I'm not going to say that it has to be a good thing either, because I'm going to give an example of when my father was really on his way. He was passing away. And I knew that he was transitioning. And I felt like I was called, honestly. Like I felt like I was called to play a role in his transition. So I was there for him every day. And I remember it was excruciating to see your father that way. But at the same time, I was so present with him, because I knew every second counted. Mm-hmm. And there was an aliveness that I can't describe. I felt more alive during that time than I felt really any other time in my life. I've never felt so alive. So this is a very difficult and sad event. But yet within it, there was something really sacred. And so, so it's kind of like an interesting thing. So when you're kind of practicing being present, where meditation can help you, and through meditation, you're also connecting with that intelligence that has everything, has that qi, then you're able to restore that. And that's why a lot of people say that sleep, yes, you can get a lot of great energy, and I'm very big on sleep. When you meditate, you're sourcing a different type of energy. It's a little bit more of a cosmic energy. Mm-hmm. And that energy is able to connect with your subconscious and almost download. A lot of people who meditate, they say they get like interesting downloads and they find solutions to problems and things just come to them.
Yeah.
It's because you're aligning, you're charging the cord, you're plugging your self, like every aspect of yourself, your subconscious mind, to the source that has all the answers, and it has all the downloads that can really regulate you physically and your expression, really, and every part of you, and increase your overall qi as well. That's one aspect. I mean, there's many ways to improve qi. I mean, there's herbs, you know, like the physical parts too.
Yeah, no, but I think this one is really key, and meditation is so helpful. And like you said, just bringing things back to the present moment. And thank you for sharing that story about your father. I think that's just really beautiful. And what a great way to showcase that. I think in life, we try to be present for the happy moments. Like if it's a celebration of sorts or things like that, that's when we maybe prompt ourselves to be more present, because we think like, oh, I want to remember this. But I think when times are tough and we're in the throes of it, I was just thinking too of, you know, being in the 2 week wait. I know whenever I would get my period, it felt like a traumatic loss every single time I got my cycle. But how beautiful would it have been to just be there with myself, be present, and really feel through those emotions and experience mm-hmm. that time in my life too. And I think we shy away from that because it can be hard to be present for those more challenging times. But like you said, you really get more in tune with yourself, you start to feel more alive. So I think that was just a really lovely example and a great reminder to be present in all aspects of our life too. So thank you for
sharing.
Yeah,
I think that also when I was talking about how things, you know, aren't good or bad, they just are in the sense, that was a perfect example, I guess, for me, because it was, I mean, I knew it felt very painful.
Yeah.
But I was able to look at it from a state of neutrality, and I have no idea how. I think that I was being moved by something. But something within me, something told me that this is a really sacred event for my father and that he was moving into a good place. Yeah. Maybe it was my own something comforting me. It was like a spirit energy comforting me. But it was a knowing that I had, and it was downloaded to me. And it was not, it was missed by the people around me who were like, trying to fight, try to get him out of bed, and I knew he was transitioning, and I didn't want to disturb the peace and constantly get him poked and prodded. And so I understood it from a different lens. And so there's that good and bad, or the neutrality of like, hey, this is, I see it for what it is kind of thing. So that I just wanted to kind of mention that as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. Yeah. I just got chills too. Like that's so sacred. But I think that only happens too, because you were listening, right? You had that prompting inside of you. You had that kind of like voice behind your, or voice inside your head saying that, hey, let's look at this from a different angle. But you being aware, I feel like awareness is really key along this journey of being aware of these signs and symptoms, being aware of what the universe and everything is trying to tell you and illuminate on this path. So that awareness, I think, is a lot of times the first step. So thank you. That's beautiful. Oh, I could talk to you for hours, Michelle. I love everything that you have to say. You have so much wisdom. I'm wondering too, so going back to the nature piece, you had talked about that of just nature naturally reproduces, right? Nature just has a really beautiful cyclical nature about itself, where things, there are certain seasons for certain things, and it doesn't have to force, right? It doesn't have to push and hurry. It happens all in its own time. And there's a lot of trust and there's a lot of surrender when you really break it down and think through the different phases of nature. So how does that relate to maybe the fertility journey? So what are some things that you see, those patterns, I guess, that you see in nature that really replicate in the fertility journey and in the reproductive system too?
I think about the cycles, the day, the sun cycles, and then also the moon cycles. And we do really have this infradian rhythm that we connect with. And getting the sunlight actually has been shown, like having a circadian rhythm disruption, which I had when I was younger too. I look back and I think to myself, oh my God, that was like me, is very much connected to irregular periods, menstrual cycle irregularities, sometimes ovulation as well. We have a pulse within our own body, and nature has a pulse as well. And actually, when we entrain, and training means like really connecting and utilizing certain prompts for our bodies to connect to that nature and that rhythm. When we entrain with the rhythm of the sunlight, getting early morning sun, really anchoring that early morning sun where our eyes can receive that light, that helps our sleep cycle. And you have to do this a lot of times. It's not something that happens once, because that's nature's timeline. We've been conditioned for quick fixes. It just does not exist in nature.
Yeah.
We're subtle, you know, and that's how acupuncture works. It's subtle. You have to do it repeatedly until the body catches on and starts to synchronize into a different pattern. So having that, and also taking away artificial light, which is confusing to the brain, and it impacts melatonin at night, all of those things, and really connecting with like the natural rhythms and having maybe more candlelight or something more dim towards the end of the night. If you are watching screens and you have to do that, put like blue light blockers, glasses that basically block the blue light, so that it's not confusing for the brain and the brain doesn't think it's daytime. So having that connection to what nature is like, natural cues, helps us and helps our bodies. And it's even been shown that people who have shift work and work overnight, it impacts their ovulatory process and also the menstrual cycle. So those things matter. You know, how we are connecting to nature's rhythms really impacts our bodies. Grounding's been shown to really help as well. It lowers inflammation. It helps with sleep. The fact is, we are part of nature. We're an extension.
Yeah.
We're just one of the branches of nature.
Yeah.
And so nature, coming back to that mother, will help us, and it will vitalize our overall chi, and also will support our reproductive health.
Yeah, that's so true. And yeah, there's just so many aspects too. I heard the other day around sound, like even the sound of birds chirping or the sound of
Yes.
waves crashing and things like that are almost like an automatic stress reliever too, because
they are.
Our bodies really need nature and they crave it too. I mean, we're inside most of the time, I feel like, nowadays, just as a society, but gosh, there's something about when you get out into the sunlight and just let the sun shine on your face. Like, that's when you feel really alive. And that's when you feel like nothing else matters. Like, for me, I know sunsets were a big part of my journey. Like, just trying to view and see as many sunsets, there's something just so like grounding and calming to me that for me personally, it just like made me feel like, okay, I can do this. And it brought me hope and just so many things. So if you have that opportunity to connect back to nature in some way, I think that's really beautiful. You shared an example in the book too, around the bees and the flowers. Do you want to maybe go into that a little bit more, of like the different role they play between, I think it was like more the yin and the yang, and kind of what that
Yeah,
was.
completely. So they both have their own, they need to be what they are.
Yes.
There's definitely a time and a place for both.
Yeah.
And the bees are very hardworking. They go after the pollen, and they smell, and they're attracted, and they move towards. So that's a very young energy. It's like the sperm running after. And while the flowers, all they do is they release a fragrance. Actually, I think I read something, I'm not sure, don't quote me, but like, I think that they stop releasing the fragrance when they, I don't know if they don't have enough pollen, or there's something about that where they stop releasing the fragrance at different times. Something to that effect, that they're basically, they have like cycles as well. And so they're releasing the fragrance attracts the bees.
Oh, wow.
So that's more of a yin. So there are two ways to get things. We can go after them, or we can call them in. And so there's that yin and yang aspect. But a lot of women, and myself included, when I was working in New York City, I was trained and conditioned, because you can override any natural tendency to whatever you want. And that's how people get brainwashed. That's how cults are. And I'm not saying that it's that extreme, but it's possible to completely override your natural instinct. And so when we override it over and over again, we're basically rewriting the script and the software or hardware. You know, we're changing like the wiring. So when we're doing that over and over and over again, we're kind of moving away from our natural feminine attributes. And so the egg allows in, and there is wisdom to that, of being in a state of allowing and calling in, rather than like running after and expending a lot of that chi, that energy, trying to do that. So there's that aspect of, yes, the yang has its role 100%. But if you use too much of it with every single thing in your life, it's going to deplete you. You know, it's not, it's so you have to have both. It's a combination of both. And I always love to, I live by the serenity prayer. Like, if you have an ability to change it, then use it. If you don't have an ability to change it, accept it. And why? Because when you accept it and you don't waste the energy, you're able to be that much more effective when you can actually use it.
True.
So if it's just a matter of a strategy, like it's kind of like an energy strategy and an energy efficiency that can happen. It's a practice.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it too. It's a practice, and it doesn't come naturally to us. And I think, I don't know if you find this too, but it feels like a lot of women who struggle with fertility are high achievers, go-getters, and maybe even more tapped into some of that young masculine type energy. And like for me, for the longest time, my feminine was so suppressed. I was so out of tune with my intuition. And
I was just focused on climbing that corporate ladder and just hustle, 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 push harder, do more, do more. And I approached my fertility the same way. I was just trying to do anything and everything that I could. Every tracker I could think of, every supplement I could think of, just doing, doing, doing more and more and more. And it wasn't until that final year when I decided, like, this is not working. There's only so many more things I can do. And my last step was going to be IVF or IUI. And there comes a time where you kind of have to realize, like, what is all of this doing really getting me? And I know you talk about this book and you explain it so beautifully, but it's really less about what you're doing and more about who you are being. So can we talk about the importance of just who you are being and that pause and really that living in alignment with who you're meant to be and how important that is on the fertility journey?
I think that a level of trust needs to be there. It's a kind of like really trusting who you are, you're being, trusting your body that it's intelligent.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what it is. I always like to kind of like say it's like betting on yourself. Like, you don't have the proof yet. So it's just like any bet that you make, you gamble. It feels like a gamble. You're like betting on something because you're like, I'm so certain that I have so much trust that my body has the potential to do this. And so you're betting on it. You're betting on and choosing to have that trust. And it is a choice. It is something that you can eventually warm up to. And it's a process. You know, I know that it could be very difficult because a lot of times we naturally will always look at the past and use the past data to predict the future. If that was me, the 12 years where I had irregular periods would have predicted my future, and it didn't. I changed something, I answered a calling, and boom, that was the answer. And the answer can come in many different ways. It can come from a better RE that would help you. It could be so many different things. It doesn't have to be mystical or old or ancient. It doesn't have to be that. It's really following that path. Sometimes it could be embryo donors. I mean, it doesn't have to be one specific thing. There is no right or wrong way. It's just answering that calling, however that shows up in your life. And I've seen stuff like that. I've had, actually, I'm having her back on the podcast, Nancy Weiss.
Oh, okay.
She was meant to find, and I have her story in the book. She was meant to find her embryos. And she knew the second she heard about it. She was trying for so many years, and the second she heard embryo donor, something lit up in her her mind, and she was like, "Oh my God, that's it!" And then she ended up randomly moving to Georgia, where her two embryo donors were sitting there for a long time waiting for them, and it was like, boom.
Story. I remember hearing that story on your podcast too, and I was just like, "Wow!" Like, all of the pieces just really had to align for that to happen. But again, listening to that call, like when she felt that in her body and thought like, okay, wait, embryo donors, there's something here. It's like heeding that call and just increasing that awareness to really pay attention to that path that you're supposed to be on. Like, if you really listen and ask for it, those signs will come. Yeah. Trust it. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what it is. I think that that's, it's the trusting that I tend to see, you know, just really trusting that there is an intelligence. And I'll be honest, I mean, not to sound creepy, but the intelligence is aware of you. It's watching you, but not watching you in a creepy way. Like, it hears you.
Yes.
And I have people, like I said, I've had like the signs that they've said. I just had a call today, and the signs that she's telling me, it was so crazy. She was like asking, for a sign. She had a, she has a daughter, and she had previously lost you know, lost a couple of repeated miscarriages, and really, really wants to have a second baby. And she asked for signs, and she would randomly see a book that she'd never recognized. And the daughter opens to a page where it talked about rainbows coming after a storm, like crazy things like that. So her stories, and so she started asking for signs. But I'm telling you, every time I talk to her, she's got like 10 insane signs. Like, she asked for, she goes, okay, fine. She literally says, what was it? She wrote it down. I wrote it down. It was like a blue Tesla. She goes, I'm going to ask for a blue Tesla. Cause like, that's unusual. I've never seen a blue Tesla. She sees it on her, in her neighborhood, like the next day. And she goes, what? And so then she's like, okay, then this and that, you know, so she starts getting all these crazy signs. It's like, as soon as she did that, it triggered all these things, and it kept coming. And I said, okay, at this point, do you doubt that there's some kind of intelligence at this point? She goes, no, absolutely
you can't.
not. Yeah. She goes, I know it's there. It's like, there's no doubt. She's not pregnant yet, but she feels it. She knows. Yeah. She feels aligned. And what else did she say? She said that she wanted a sign from a daughter. So she had a name for the daughter, very, very unique name. And she never heard of it before.
Mm.
And all of a sudden she meets this lady and her name is that name. And then she saw it. It was just so many weird things like that. So she's like, okay, I trust. But my point is if you don't trust, that's okay too. Yes. I don't want to say that there's any wrong or right way to go through this journey, but ask is what I say. Just ask for a sign, ask for it to be really obvious. Just try and see what happens.
Well, and what a beautiful example too, because she trusted, she listened to the signs, and I bet she feels so different having those signs, having that confirmation, like what that had to do for her belief and for her just hope and her feeling and sense that she's on the right path and that it's a matter of time before she gets pregnant. Like that doubt is no longer there. It's just that, it will happen and it will happen in the right time. And it's just a matter of time. Like I don't have to worry about waiting. I don't have to worry about doing more because it's going to happen. It's the right designed path for me, I guess. And I love that. I love signs too. I had so many signs on my fertility journey and I'm all about like listening to them, seeing them, asking for them. And it's kind of crazy when they come too, like things that you would least expect.
It blows you away. You're like, oh my God.
Yes. The places you see things and it's crazy. For me, bees, I know we were talking about those earlier. Bees was one of my signs and I'm not a huge fan of insects. Like anybody that knows me, I'm scared of bees. I'm scared of bugs in general. And so when that came up as like a potential sign, I was like, bees, like, what do you mean bees? Like, that's not for me. And I remember seeing, we had gone through to a restaurant and the waitress had this bee tattoo on her forearm and it was the most beautiful bee that I had ever seen. But it was like, that was the first confirmation that I got. And then I started seeing bees everywhere, but it was just like, wow, okay, like this is my sign. And it just felt like it was a sense of comfort. Like whenever I would see a bee, it would always be during a really hard time or a time where maybe I felt like quitting or I felt like, okay, maybe I'm not cut out for this, or maybe I was trying to go on a different path. And then I would always see that bee and it would be to me a reminder for my daughter that like, no, this is what we need to do. Like, I'm right here. I'm right there with you. Like it's coming, I'm coming. And it was just a really beautiful connection, I think, to her too, and to just the amazing, beautiful things that are on the journey. So, yeah.
You never know. She might have some connection with bees.
Right? I know. She's going to be like a bee whisperer, like a little honey farm or something later. Who knows? It's possible.
You never know.
I love that so much. Okay. Well, I'm curious too, with this book, what is the major takeaway that you hope that somebody reading this book leaves with after they're done?
You know, the biggest takeaway is really connecting to your heart, going back to that, realizing your heart's important. I do cover that in the book, and also scientific data on why your heart's important and what it can do really to impact everything, your uterus as well.
Yeah.
So coming back to your heart, coming back from a place of love, love is life-giving. Mm. Come back to that. You will never go wrong.
Mm.
It'll never take you in the wrong path. Everything really coming, love is very healing. It's very life-giving.
Yeah.
So coming to a place, whether it means that there's forgiveness to oneself or to other people. And I know that could be hard. So it really has to be at your own pace, but there is a lot of power. I share some stories on there about forgiveness and the power of forgiveness. Being in that state is incredibly, incredibly powerful. Joe Dispenza's work, I've gone to a couple of his retreats, and the two things that they really took away from like impacts on the body and physiological changes is that it comes down to not only thought, but also emotion and being in an elevated emotion. This is why just doing affirmations doesn't always work, because if your emotion is not aligned, then it's almost like a lie detector test. It's like, you know, connecting to that energy vibration and being truthful with that and really bringing that up, even though it's hard in the beginning, you have to really repeat it. And it could be that the affirmations at first won't work, but keep saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually that might get your mind on board.
Yeah.
And then your emotions could sometimes move to that state of whatever it is that you're saying. And then you start to believe it. We believe everything we repeat over and over again. So sometimes it takes a little longer for us to do that. But getting to a heightened state of emotion is where they've seen a lot of incredible changes happen in the body. And they have crazy stories there. People, I mean, you could Google it or go on YouTube and see all the testimonials, but there's people with really, really major diseases that go into remission from a lot of his work. And a lot of his work really comes down to connecting to a heightened state of emotion, like a state of love, and really connecting to your heart.
Yeah. I love that so much. That's beautiful. That's one of the pieces of advice you had given me early on too. I had just started acupuncture and you said, when you do your sessions, just say, I love you. And as you're going through it, and I was like, what? Okay. That just sounds weird. At first I thought, okay, well, I'll try it. We'll see what happens. And I didn't even know like what I was saying it for, who I was saying it to or anything like that. And as I started to go through each session and I would just like place my hand on my womb and I would just say, I love you. And I think at first I thought, okay, I'm just telling my baby maybe that I love her. And that felt true because I wanted a baby so bad. So I was like, okay, I can get on board with that. Like, I love her. I love her. I love you. I love you. And I would say, and then it started to feel like, okay, maybe it's more like I love my womb too. Like I'm grateful for my body. I love my body and all that it's doing for me. And so that felt like the next sense of truth maybe. And then it started to be like, I love you. Like, I love me too. Like, I know I, on the fertility journey, you start to feel like, oh, something's wrong with me, or maybe, you know, my body's broken. And you start to think like, how can I really love my body when it's not supporting me and it's not doing what I want it to do or what it was designed to do? But I feel like that evolution of that love, like when you have that sense of love for yourself, it makes it so much easier to have that sense of love, like for your baby and for everything else too. So that was something that was really beautiful that had a huge impact on me that I didn't even realize at the time when you told me how impactful it would be. But yeah, I felt like that was a big turning point for me of just really practicing love, feeling that sense of love and knowing what that felt like for me and then for my baby too. So thank you for that too.
That's actually cool to hear because it's funny. It definitely is something that I would say, but I forgot. I don't even remember saying that. I'm like, that's so cool that it had an impact on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was something so simple, but it just really made a big difference for sure. So I love that.
Aww. Well, I've always enjoyed working with you, Clarissa. Like, actually, I have a soft place in my heart for you.
Thank you. I know. Same with you too. Like, it's just been everything that you have. I'm always like from your podcast, your courses, everything, your hypnosis audios too. I listen to those daily on my fertility journey. And kind of the same thing, like with affirmations, like first you listen to it and you start to think like, okay, I'm not sure if I fully believe this yet, but you do it over time and you start to get that practice. And there's something about that subconscious reprogramming too, that just really makes a difference. And I started to just really crave that. And it started to be this really beautiful routine at the end of the day to just tap into it, different points in my cycle. And I just remember that being a really big turning point for me and like the shift that I had in my mindset and my own emotions too. So incredible.
That's amazing.
So as we wrap up here, what is the biggest piece of advice that you have for somebody who's been on their fertility journey for a long time? What would you like to say to them today?
I would say, first of all, I'm sending you so much love because I know that it's not easy and you need a hug. And sometimes like, you know, that's the point is that there is no right or wrong way. And like, if you're feeling down, that's okay. Like, of course it's understandable. And so be wherever you are, be with that, like in its entirety. If you need to cry, cry fully, allow yourself that. Allow yourself that grace to just be where you are, however that is, with neutrality, just allowing yourself that full acceptance of every single step, even the hard steps. Even if you have joy and you feel like, oh, I shouldn't feel joy because I'm going through this, or all of it, allow yourself and realize that also sadness and joy can coexist. Mm-hmm. You can have both of them. It happens many times simultaneously. And so that, allow yourself and love yourself and accept yourself in that way. And that's what I would say.
I love that. That's so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for all of the wisdom that you've shared today. Thank you for what you continue to do for women on their fertility journey, what you have done and what you continue to do. You're such a blessing in this space. And thank you for being one of our fertility friends here and helping us to move forward on this journey. So appreciate you having, or appreciate you being here. And it was a pleasure having you.
Of course. And Clarissa, I think you're doing, like, what you're doing for the community is incredible. And also that you're sharing your own story. And it's such a beautiful journey to share, because a lot of people are going to get so much hope from your journey and your story. And so I think that what you're doing is incredible as well. And thank you so much for having me, because I always love talking to you.
I know. Same here. Thank you so much. We'll have to do it again sometime soon too. Appreciate you.
All right, friend, that's it for today. It was great catching up with you, though, and I can't wait to do it again next week. Can I just say, I really appreciate you being here, and it means so much that you took time out of your day to listen in. So what'd you think of the episode? Let me know if you enjoyed it by leaving a rating and review. It'll just take a second, and this simple act of generosity helps more women discover the podcast so they can feel supported on their fertility journey as well. Thank you for being so kind and paying it forward. Oh yeah, and by the way, if you're looking to connect with other women who are trying to get pregnant, then I've got just the place for you. Consider this your personal invitation to join the Fertility Friends community. It's a safe and supportive space to connect that's off of social media, and it's totally free. Head on over to blossomingfertility.com/friends to join. I can't wait to welcome you inside. Take care, my friend.